This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's coming up to 7:37. You're listening to The Morning Run. Melissa, Joyce and Han here. As we take a look at global markets, specifically oil prices, as it continues to slide, we have Brent futures now down 1.5%, hovering at about $70 a barrel. Now, this is despite news of Saudi Arabia considering a production cut of 1 million barrels a day starting December. Joining us on the line now, we have Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist of Coface, which is a global credit insurance company based in Hong Kong. Good morning, Carlos. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Now, oil appears to be flirting with a bear market at the moment. So why isn't news of the output cut supporting oil prices?
Well, we have definitely seen the oil market becoming a lot more bearish in the last couple of weeks. And net long positions are their lowest that they've been since July last year, when we did see a small correction there. Now, this new correction in oil prices has its roots in two main causes. First of all, we have seen how slower growth momentum in Asia, but also in other parts of the world, have impacted investor expectations. But also a lower there's a expectation that there will be a lower impact of U.S. sanctions on Iran because there's been exemptions to those sanctions, including China, which is a major consumer of oil for Iran. So that's put a lot of pressure on oil prices and, of course, triggered Saudi Arabia's energy minister, Khalid Al-Falih, to come out last week and announce that they were cutting production by 1 million barrels per day. Now, Russia is another big oil-producing country, and Russia and Saudi Arabia have actually coordinated actions fairly well in the last years to ensure that the recovery in oil prices continued uninterrupted. However, there are some questions whether or not that's going to continue to be the case, as Russia seems to oppose Saudi Arabia's unilateral decision to cut output so far.
Mm. Carlos, what's your outlook on global oil demand for 2019, and how does that feed into commodity-linked currencies such as the ringgit?
So our outlook for oil prices have actually not changed dramatically as a result of the latest correction. We still forecast prices to stabilize around $70 per barrel in 2019. Now, there are some downside risks to that forecast, and the downside risks are predominantly on the demand side. So we have potentially slower growth from China being one of the largest consumers of the commodity in the world. And that adding with supply side glut potentially adding to pressures on oil. But overall, there should be some volatility going forward, but an overall stabilization trend of around $70 per barrel, which should be supportive of countries like Malaysia, who are net exporters of a commodity.
Hey, Carlos, moving over to currencies. Look, this week has kicked off with emerging market currencies losing more ground against the greenback. And we also note that the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, he's scheduled to speak this Thursday at 6 a.m. Malaysian time. Do you expect Fed speak to be a key driver for global markets this week?
We do expect the Fed to continue with that December rate hike. Now, that is, of course, going to translate into downside pressure or depreciatory pressure on a lot of emerging market assets that have seen their competitiveness being eroded by higher yielding assets in the United States. So we do foresee a little bit of depreciatory pressure or some of that returning to the table, as you know, the currencies have behaved quite well in the last couple of weeks. But, of course, not all countries will be affected equally. So some countries have been more proactive in managing the monetary policies, and that will help to alleviate the pressures. In the case of Malaysia, higher oil prices will continue to support the ringgit. However, we have that uncertainty going forward with that interest rate differential building up some depreciatory pressure going forward.
Mm. And which countries are those, Carlos? Because I'm wondering just how long Asian central banks can tolerate a stronger dollar. You know, we had Bank Negara standing for the interest rates last week, but you have Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines, all monetary policy decisions coming up this week.
Yeah, so the consensus is for all of these countries to stay put in December. The main reason being that there has been a stabilization of the currencies, and many of these central banks, in particular Indonesia, are focused on currency stability. Now, of course, a December rate hike in the absence of other hikes in Asia will put downside pressure into 2019. But they do have a little bit of room to stay put in December. Other central banks, for example, Philippines, are predominantly they target inflation, and that remains very high in the Philippines. So there's consensus view is for the central bank to stay put. However, if they really want to support consumption, and that is 70% of their economy, it's a very domestically driven economy, then the right thing to do would be to hike rates at this juncture in order to curb inflation. And that should, of course, also help on the currency front.
But not likely to, the Philippines?
The Philippines, the consensus view is for it not to take place in December, which should not be favorable for the currency. However, our contrarian view, in a way, is that the bank should really be doing more in December already.
I see.
Of course, in Malaysia, you do have a little bit more room not to implement any further hikes at this juncture because inflation remains so low as a result of the abolition of the GST and also the reintroduction of energy subsidies. So that should at least give enough room for the bank to stay on hold throughout the first half of 2019, which should be supportive of growth. And hopefully in a more favorable environment in terms of oil prices, that will also help to boost revenues and mitigate some of the pressure on the FX front.
Carlos, also this week, we've got third quarter GDP readings out of Japan, Hong Kong, and also Malaysia. So when considering Asia's growth projections, is the balance of risk more to the upside or the downside?
That is a very good question, because we are really starting to see a decoupling of growth conditions throughout the world and also within Asia-Pacific. We expect some economies will continue to grow at a very good rate, while others will contract. So Japan is a good example. We are expecting to see a contraction in sequential terms there, and that is a result of weaker domestic consumption and investment, but also of a series of natural disasters and floodings that struck Japan in the months of the third quarter. On the other hand, in Malaysia, we do expect growth to pick up slightly. Our year-end forecast is 5.1%, so there's still some room for that GDP figure to pick up a little bit, and that will be predominantly on that higher consumption favored by lower taxes. But also in higher oil prices or stable oil prices, that should continue to boost confidence. That will help to boost investment, and it will also make it easier for the government to forge ahead with its fiscal consolidation plan.
Carlos, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist of COFAS in Hong Kong. Now, after this, we turn our attentions closer to home. We're going to take a look at the airport REIT that was announced in Budget 2019. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.